It's the Third Street Podcast.
Are we live?
Welcome back to the Third Street Podcast. It is episode 16 with your boys. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're looking good.
Thank you.
We're just talking about Zach's attire.
He looks very kind of scary.
It's not Canadian heavy metal band t-shirt.
People know I'm not scary.
Don't punch me. Eston just got a fresh tat. Show the cameras.
Very nice.
It's very red right now. It will get less red, I think.
It looks sick.
I hope it doesn't.
But it looks dope. That artist is cool. What's the artist's name?
Chris France.
Chris France.
France.
What
Z.
Studio?
Viper. Tattoo.
Yeah. Viper Tattoo, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Josh, quit yawning, please.
Sorry.
Let's
hung
pick.
Over. I've been hanging all day.
Let's pick some teams.
Dude, we lost an hour today.
We're gonna do the random wheel like we used to do. So instead of picking just individual names, I just put the teams, all the available teams. All the available teams.
I thought Dick Brown was the best one. Dick Bibbs is hilarious.
I didn't think about that being doubled up. Whose teams? Wheezy Bibbs makes a return. You called it.
All right.
Oh, no, you didn't. Wheezy Bibbs is the team. So it's
Dick Brown.
Also known as Richard Brown.
Hey, what color
is Richard Brown.
Dick Brown.
What color is your wiener? Dick Brown.
Or DJ Dog, but I don't. It's not as good. All right, cue the tunes.
Anyway.
Gotta get some accessories, dog.
Gotta win some championships, bro. Here we are. If we get enough wins at the end of the year, do we get a ring?
Yeah. We'll have it. Well, we have to have an end of the year championship, right?
Yeah, we should.
Or we'll get.
We should start keeping
gauntlet.
Track of wins.
We get an actual gauntlet.
I'm gonna put a whiteboard up in here to keep stats.
Well, there's only four episodes. Stats. Right?
Yes.
This is the greatest band. This is my favorite band. He was the most famous ever. That every time you say something like that, we're gonna put a tally on the wall. See how many times you say it.
Okay.
That's the guitarist of.
That's the guitarist of Brantley Gilbert's pick.
Hell yeah. Nice. Okay, so the Dale Earnhardt 3 is heads, and the Spencer Wasdorp is tails.
Hey, Spencer, if you watch this, we're flipping your pick right now.
Heads.
It is. Dale Earnhardt heads. You guys get to pick the Dick Brown.
John, should you want to go just straight for the jugular and start on threes?
Sure.
I feel like album art at three, we could...
Tannen's always grasping my jugular.
Let's do it.
All right.
Album art, 3 points is category number one. Here is your clue.
Tannen be squeezing.
What?
Fucking dead, bro. I'm fucking dead, fam.
This might be the hardest one you've ever done.
It is. It's very hard.
The other words are confusing the fuck out of me.
I would say like fucking... Sex Pistols or something like that.
Man. Sure. I have nothing.
So
I have nothing.
Album title, artist, and year. Let's give me guesses here.
19... Fuck. When were Sex Pistols a thing? 80s?
Yeah. Late 70s, early 80s.
All right, let's do like 1981.
One? Okay.
Sure.
Sex Pistols, 1981. Fast and Ready.
Okay.
Fast and Ready, Jimmy
Sex
Jones?
Sex Pistols, 1981, Fast and Ready. It is a Sex Pistols album.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So you got
Damn.
1 point.
I knew that.
It's not 1981. It's not Fast and Ready.
Zach, once again, we're here in a situation where I cannot help. So good luck.
All right. The album is Anarchy in the UK.
Ah.
And the year is 1979.
Ah. Dude. Zach.
Both incorrect.
Damn.
It is Nevermind the Bollocks. Here's the Sex Pistols, 1977.
Dang it.
Damn.
That's so hard.
Good call.
That was the hardest one you've ever done, I think.
Yeah, so when you were like, let's go for the juggler and start with the threes, I was like, I made them very difficult.
Hey, we got one.
Yeah, yes, you did. I love it.
Good guess.
Nice. It's impressive, but it kind of pisses me off that you're like, it's probably like the fucking Sex Pistols or something.
Well they have all their album art was kind of like shit you cut out of a magazine, like collaged kind of style, mm-hmm. you know?
Here's the thing. I think it would have been easier if you blocked out everything.
It would have just been yellow with
really
the...
confused me.
Okay. Well.
Because I was looking at the words and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I know nothing. about the Sex Pistols.
What the heck? I literally
said it with such confidence. I was like, I was about to say Zach's my fucking hero, and then Eston's like, that's all wrong, and I was like, oh.
I just thought Anarchy in the UK because it's on Guitar Hero.
One giant step back.
That's the most unpunk rock thing I've ever said.
It's on Guitar Hero, bro. Duh.
So Wyatt, what do you want to go for here, man?
Art 2.
Yeah, let's do it.
You guys are gonna be so mad. Probably. Album Art 2. No, not you.
This is Led Zeppelin 3.
This is a Led Zeppelin album. I need the title and the year.
It's 3, and the year is 1976?
Fuck you, Zach. Don't look at me about 70... that one.
No, it's 70...
I knew that it was Zeppelin 3.
74. 74.
I'll take 74. Zeppelin 3, 74.
Yeah.
Right. It is Zeppelin 3. It's not 1974.
Damn it.
It's later.
I think it is. It's like 76 later. Or 77.
Yeah, let's go 77.
When did Bonham die?
77?
Sure.
It is not 77. It's earlier. It's 1970.
Oh, well. Yeah, I knew it was something earlier.
Zeppelin 3 came out crazy. In 1970?
You know what's crazy is Zeppelin 2 and Zeppelin 3 came out like 4 months apart in 69 and 70.
Yeah.
But wow. They were like
I knew it was
September
earlier.
Of 69 and May of 70 or something like that.
I knew it was crazy. Earlier because Bonham died in 77.
What's the one with the,
I do realize that would be 6 months apart.
Weird looking people on the stairs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that Zeppelin 2? No.
No.
All right, we got ourselves a 1-to-1
anyway,
showdown.
We'll talk about it.
You pick Josh.
Brown dick, pick a category.
What color is your dick, Josh?
Dick brown.
What color dick? Dick brown.
Do you want to just... clear out the album art, or do you want to go for another three?
I don't care. You pick.
Let's clear out the album art.
Okay.
Album art, 1 point.
Dang it.
Probably the easiest one I've ever done. Just need the year of American
Jesus
Idiot.
Jesus Christ. 2004.
No.
2004.
Probably.
2004?
That is correct.
Yeah.
You're going to go with his confidence? Mm-hmm. Wheezy Bibs, do you guys have a guess?
Yikes.
I'm going to say 2003.
It's 2004.
Dang it.
What a dick.
What the fuck is this?
I knew it was probably 2004, but I had to say 2003 just in case.
Sorry.
It was about the Iraq War, which happened in 2004.
2003. Billy Madison. That is correct.
Takes off his shirt.
All right, Wheezy Bibs.
Wyatt, what do you want to do, man? Music trivia for 3? We're doing for 3. We're going ballsy. Okay, music trivia for 3.
Damn, if they get this, Josh, we got to really come back.
Yeah. Music trivia, 3 points.
This is
going to
be rough.
Down by 1, or you'd be down by 2.
Yeah. This is going to be rough.
Music trivia. Forming nearly 4 decades ago, back in 1983, the original lineup began their career under the initial name Tony Flo and the Majestic Masters of Mayhem. What is this band's name today?
Shit.
Tony Flo and the Majestic Masters of Mayhem.
How do you come up with this shit?
I just
Wikipedia a lot and take like a fact. And
in 1983, they formed.
They originally formed in 1983. All the original members of the band today formed this other band, but it was Tony Flo and the Majestic Masters of Mayhem.
Are all the members still alive?
Primus, maybe.
Yeah.
Seems fucking crazy because now it's like Les Claypool and the fucking Jumping Frog Brigade or whatever the fuck, you know. That's my best guess.
All the original members are in the band?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Still in the band today?
Me right
yeah.
Now? I don't know. But like the
trying to communicate with my teammate,
the band, the Answer, were also in the original members of this band. It was the same guys. They just changed their name.
I'm gonna say it's the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I'll back that up.
It is the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yep. No, that's exactly what I was gonna say.
Oh my good guess. God! Wow.
I knew that one. I knew that one. I fucking knew it.
Damn!
Is that what you wrote too?
I wrote Run DMC.
No, I was gonna say Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Earlier when I said Zach's my hero, I really meant it. So
I kind of was asking because Hillel's dead, but it sounds like something
when
that,
when you started confusing me. Well, when
Anthony
you said all the original.
Anthony Kiedis makes sense for Tony Flo.
Yep.
Yeah.
We got our butts whooped on that one, and I knew it. I thought we were going to get that one.
All right, Brown. Well, we got to go for a three then.
Category.
Fuck. No. We
got to go for
we,
a. You can go for a two.
We could do two music trivia and just tie it.
Okay.
Right, because there's two threes left.
Okay.
Let's go to right, music trivia.
Music trivia 2-pointer. Keith Moon and John Entwistle from The Who are said to have inspired the name of which other classic rock band?
What?
They brag about giving this other band the idea for their name.
Oh, I've heard this before.
And Entwistle is one of the best bassists ever.
What?
Not a lot of deliberation going on here.
I don't know, man.
I'm really lost.
Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, I mean, that would make the time frame, right? Why not?
Go ahead and, yeah, give me...
Yep.
Yeah,
give
me. Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin? Led Zeppelin is correct.
Wow, good guess, Josh. You knew it?
Yeah, I've heard this story.
They were the Yardbirds and then...
Yeah, sometime recently. I can't remember where, though.
All right.
Good play, Josh.
Dang, man. This
tied
is
her up.
You want to go for a three or just get that one?
Let's take the one.
Take the one. Yep.
Don't fumble this.
1 point. Who founded Motown Records?
Oh, shit.
Do you know this?
I don't think I know for a fact. I have a good guess.
What is your guess, Wyatt?
You know it, Josh?
Not a good guess.
I have a good guess, but I'm not sure.
Who are you thinking?
Whenever somebody says Motown, I think about Jamerson, but I don't think it was him.
Couple seconds here. Give me something. Give me something.
I mean, I don't have anything good.
Give me something. Spit out a name, motherfuckers, or you're going to get passed without a guess.
Waylon Jennings.
Dick Brown, what's your guys' guess?
Quincy Jones.
No.
Quincy Jones?
That wasn't my guess, but I think you probably know better. That's go with it.
It's fucking Barry Gordy.
Barry Gordy. Damn it.
How?
That's like
you know
history
what?
Of rock and roll 101.
Quincy no, Jones not. And Barry Gordy did a lot of work together, so
it's not
easy
I didn't,
to say.
You knew that before right you made questions. This question?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah. I did.
I did.
So, Wheezy Bibbs, right?
Mm-mm. Nope.
No. Dick Brown.
Dick Brown.
Brown Dick.
You want
tied
red or blue?
Up, man.
Red or blue?
You choose.
Oh. I'm going to go with blue today.
Blue.
I'm voting Democrat.
Tannen's got the blue.
Random Gauntlet. Blue is... Name this rock star.
Are you joking?
Seriously. Name this rock star.
It's the Incubus guy, Brandon Boyd?
Yep.
Brandon Boyd?
Yeah.
Is that it?
I think so.
I know it's Brandon. I don't know if Boyd's correct. Brandon Boyd.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Locking in Brandon Boyd?
Yep.
It is Brandon Boyd. From Incubus.
Attaboy.
Nice. So we got to go red pill.
Yeah, bro. Fucking.
We might have a tiebreaker here.
If anybody's red pilled here in this room, it's Josh.
What does that mean?
Dick Brown, baby.
I don't know.
Red pill. Red pill, Dick Brown.
Red pill.
You guys took the blue pill, you know, the hard one.
Red pill is a slow-mo song.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
We might be going a tiebreaker here.
But
unless we get it.
First off, let me. Okay, we're still hooked up there. But I made this fucking 3 weeks ago. Do I still have the fucking?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I think this is it. We're gonna go for it. I'll tell you right away if it's not. If I fuck this up. You guys ready?
Cool. Mm.
I got it.
Yeah.
You have the band?
Yeah.
Song title and band.
You were always what I wanted. Na, 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 na,
you got a timer?
My friend's never... so over you. My friend's over you. My friend's over you by Taking Back Sunday. Is that the band?
You'll never get an answer out of me, feds.
So my friend, so over you by Taking Back Sunday.
It is not. That's not the correct answer.
Dang it!
The song I've heard is the song. My Friend's Over You by Newfound Glory.
Dang it!
Yes, Josh.
Woo!
It is.
That's my for pop punk nerds.
Newfound Glory.
Nerd.
I fucked up.
You played this last time.
No, last night.
Oh, you did?
On
Friday.
At Lalo's.
Oh, you did?
I put it on the shuffle, and you were like, did you pick this? Oh, no, I played it Friday at your house.
Lurlers. Oh, you did?
You guys are both there. I put it on the Spotify.
My friend's over,
and,
yeah.
And you guys were like, who played this? And I was like, no. As soon as it came on, I was like.
Because you didn't want
to. Because I didn't want you guys to like, oh, why'd you pick this song? I really listened to it.
Damn.
Ah, man. He was trolling me all the way back on Friday. Well, they won.
They did. Dick Brown takes the cake. Well, I mean,
we got a hard
the final score makes it look like you whooped them, but I mean, they were one question away from tying it to go to a tiebreaker, so it wasn't necessarily a slaughter.
Yeah, but 10-4 is a whooping.
Yes, after the stolen point.
10-4.
I'm not any kind of stranger to getting whoopings from Tannen.
You're never getting any answers out of me, Fed.
You guys saw this a little earlier, but what year did Willie Nelson release his first song?
Damn, oh, man. Go, like, man. 64?
61.
64, 67, 61.
I'm saying like, yeah, 60, 61. Yeah, 60.
1956.
Wow. Dude is old as shit, man.
How is he even still alive?
His first... Weed. First song.
Before Sputnik got in the freaking air, you know?
First,
he said, weed? I'm doing good.
First song he ever released. I mean, they probably did market it as country. But not fucking... When you listen to it, it's not country like at all. It's like the Motown kind of bluesy, poppy.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was in Nashville when he released it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he was like, fuck Nashville. They're not taking any of my personal music. And he went to Texas and started recording the songs that you know today, like Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. I have watched that documentary where he was like, Nashville wouldn't let me play my shit, so I said, fuck him. Him and Waylon Jennings.
Damn, yeah. I want to watch
and
that.
And they moved to Austin, yep. and started what became the Red Dirt scene.
Anyway.
Woohoo!
Speaking about... odd music and different music and new music and
music
in general. Wyatt, Mr. Weasel in the corner, he picked an album this week. What is it?
I always bring the wackiest shit, huh? So we've got the Fearless Flyers 4 by the Fearless Flyers, modern funk jazz fusion band, if I had to put a label on it. But it's like members from Volfpeck, like Joe Dar and Corey Wong, and then Nate Smith on the drums, and I can't remember the name of the fourth guy, but all in the 1% of musicians, extremely talented. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Super good stuff.
Yeah, man. I am very glad. So Wyatt was gonna pick a Goose album that was 6.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And we were like, dude,
welcome to purgatory.
Fucking this guy. And he's like, fine, we'll do the Fearless Flyers
album. Got our goose on that one, you know.
But it came out in 2024, so
yeah, it came out in like February.
Send it.
Like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
This did? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So for the viewers at home, it's an instrumental album. Instrumental blues. What'd you say? Funk, jazz fusion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a good description of it.
Not bad.
But it's instrumental. There's no vocals.
Groove.
Aside from the crowd, because it's a live album.
I was going to ask that. Is every song live, or is it just that one track?
No, there's two tracks that you can hear the crowd.
I think some of them are recorded live, and some of them are in the studio.
I was going to say, well, and it almost feels like they recorded it in the studio, and then like when they're doing their outro, they like pulled the crowd
in,
cheering,
right.
You know, in.
That's what I was wondering.
But that's the only vocals in the record.
They did a Europe tour in 23, and I'm thinking that they probably pulled at least some audio clips from their tour for this album.
Do you think regardless everything on here is like one tracked?
Yes.
I think, yeah, it sounded that way.
Yes, it's one tracked. They're that talented.
They're just that nutty.
And they're like, hey, we're going to record this song. Okay. And they're like, bro, all together. Yeah, bro, right, hit record.
Bro, they're maestros. You know what I mean? They're incredible.
They play off of each other. Is this the fourth album that they've done?
Yes.
Then?
And they're all titled The Fearless Flyers.
It's The Fearless Flyers 1, 2, 3, and 4.
It's, I don't know. It's weird because, like, it isn't anything that I would seek out personally.
Right.
I would not go, I'm going to listen to a jazz funk fusion band.
I don't think I would expect that.
and so, you picking it, the first listen through, I was like, it's almost like really good elevator music is my first takeaway. And then I listened to it.
That's a good explanation, though, really.
And then I listened to it again, and I was like, actually, their drummer fucking rips, man. Like,
really they cool. one
of
them,
they all do. They absolutely
Toledo, just on the topic of Nate Smith, that dude is fucking...
Yeah, Nate Smith is
the pocket that
the little
so
solo
good,
he does
dude.
In Red. I think it's Red Arrows.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude!
And it goes for like fucking 3 minutes, dude. And they just,
I love. So Wyatt said that Thunderbirds is his favorite song, and I said, dude, Red Arrows is the second track. Red Arrows is up there for me because not only the badass little drum, it's not even a solo; it's just a drum interlude.
Right.
You know, it's just like they're like, hey, just accentuate your talent for a minute.
Right.
And he plays this, you know, he just goes off the rails on the drums for like 2 minutes or whatever. And there's jamming behind him and he's just doing his thing or whatever. And then seamlessly, without like a build up or like a break or anything, it's just like,
and
the band comes back in and he
so nice.
It's smooth as butter. Smooth as butter. You know what I mean?
It's my favorite. That little part, that little transition is my favorite part of this album.
For me, my favorite part was I liked Snowbirds a lot.
Snowbirds is cool.
It started with this cool, like, chorusy funk guitar kind of thing, and then it kind of branched out, and then in the middle you have, like, this random, like, bass guitar solo, basically. I don't know. It's just him vamping.
Grooving.
The whole
Joe
album
Dart's so good.
The whole album is just grooves, and they're so good at grooving. Like, they'll change up the beat, they'll throw in, like, triplets, or they'll, you know, like, there's parts where I heard the drummer hanging behind the beat intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's
Which
just,
is,
like,
one of the coolest things
it's
that
so
a musician
cool.
can
I would
do.
Say,
it's
and,
just stupid.
Yeah, there were,
be right behind.
There like,
were,
immediately, yeah.
There were several, like, intentional time changes that, for one, are seamless, but some of them were, like, you know, they changed time signature and then right back.
Right.
You know, it's like three hits, but when you it's just different enough that you're like, and then they're back. Like, oh, it was just like a weird little time change. I think, I don't know. Maybe they were just fucking feeling it, you know?
So you sent this record to us and we're like, hey guys, this is the record I'm picking. I listened to it all the way through, and I was like, for one, I had a hard time telling when a song changed to another song.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were just smooth.
Yeah, and it like a lot of the record sounds like 28 minutes of a jam band.
Well,
I mean, I think essentially that's what it is.
That because I was talking about this record with my good buddy Zach up at work, and he was saying that the kind of one of the big pitfalls of like jazz fusion and funk and music like this is that if you're not really into it, it can kind of all sound the same.
Yep.
Like that's the truth. That's it. That's a very valid critique of
even
this genre.
Even if you like
music.
It.
You know?
Yeah.
Even if you like it, if you're not really listening, you know, and I mean,
or looking like, oh, he has eight, this song has 8 seconds left and another song is going to start.
Right.
When you're driving, you don't really have like, at least I'm not looking at my phone to when the next song is coming. So it,
yeah,
it felt like just a continuous song. A lot of the record did. Now, the breakdown in Red Arrows is dope as fuck. The drumming throughout the whole record is phenomenal. I listened to the record through the first time, and I was like, what the fuck am I even going to say about this? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't have that many notes. The drummer's good. Like, and then I listened to it again, and I was like, damn, man, I'm writing melodies over it. I'm singing songs over this music. Like, it feels almost like... it feels like, what's the fucking
the sound
super pop star Bruno Mars.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like a fucking like they were like Bruno Mars was like, hey, I need a little bit of jazz funk fusion.
Well, he
in my next record, would you guys just write something so that I can sample?
His side project that he did with Anderson .Paak, Silk Sonic, uh-huh. is very like jazz oriented.
Yeah. And so I'm writing so melodies in my head.
Leave the door
subconsciously.
Open.
Oh, I'm not thinking about it, right? Like
right.
Mm-hmm. I'm all of a sudden I'm singing songs over the music and I'm like, "Oh, this would be a dope as fuck sample pack."
What were you saying?
I was saying that this album I was telling Tannen that this album has a lot of parts in it that would take a lot of re-listens for you to discover certain things or hear certain things that you didn't hear initially.
Surely.
And Sing then less. I said that I listen to a lot of instrumental albums when I work, and this is definitely going to be in the rotation going forward.
Yeah.
A
I agree.
A lot of things that come out of Valve Records, which is like a little record company that Jack Stratton has, are like that. Like Wolfman does a bunch of like instrumental stuff with just like a drum kit and a harpeggi, all the Fearless Flyers stuff. Wolfpack has lyrics usually, not all their songs. It's like a 50-50 hit or miss, but all of it's really good work music, I think.
Yeah, to me the whole album it blew my mind because there's so much going on in these like what, 6 songs.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole album is 28 minutes, and it's like, man, they just like crammed so much.
Bro, all gas, no breaks.
For real.
It would be very hard to learn how to play this record. Very, very,
extreme.
Very hard.
This is for like
prodigy level
jazz majors and like fucking prodigies. Yeah.
Dude, that drummer,
Steve Kowalczyk,
I will say this
is legitimately stupid.
I will say
he
this
is so fucking dumb. On the drums.
Just piggyback, you know, we've said, yeah, this is kind of like background work music for like 6 of these albums that we've reviewed.
At least new this, line of
one,
music at work.
This one's the only one that is like truly, I did a bunch of yard work today. I probably listened to this record front to back 8 times. Because I just turn it on. Because it's seamless. It doesn't like.
Right. Do you mow your lawn on like a tractor?
You do yard work?
Like this?
Yeah, it's just
like
a ride mower.
When I do yard work, I listen to the interview once.
I didn't cut my grass today, but
okay.
Well, there's no grass to cut today.
We have
okay.
Did you trim
a
your
rabbit
too?
Problem? And yeah. We have a skunk, and they're digging under my fucking barn, digging holes. So I filled all those holes today.
The barn that Wyatt lives in.
Yeah,
And there's two holes in the dog kennel because Shelby knows that there's fucking rodents under there. So she's dug like two of these big pit. The one, she can get in and you lose sight of her.
Damn.
Wow.
Shelby.
She's gone to town. So that took me a while to fill.
So you were filling holes, not digging holes.
Yeah. It's what I'm good at, filling holes.
Set them up.
God damn. Digging holes over here.
No. What I was going to say before this thing cut out was there's parts in every song that are super catchy. You know, like the bass line in Blue Angels, the first song on the record.
Just the whole song. It's such a jam.
Yeah, that's stuck in my head.
I'm telling you, you can attribute whatever skill I have on the bass guitar, which is minimal, but whatever skill I have on the bass guitar, you can attribute to Joe Dyer because he's basically my idol.
I mean, listening to this, I could hear like a lot of like your playing in it.
You know, I steal fills from this dude on every song, every single song we play.
Love it, man.
Yeah, it was solid album, man.
Yeah, it's great. Does anybody else have anything to add? I mean, I know it's been kind of short, but there's not a whole lot to dig into. Yeah, it's only six songs. There's not a lot.
For me, the whole album, like, I get vibes off of different albums and, like, different situations I'm going to find myself listening to this. And like, to me, this is, like, night driving music. Like, like if I'm going on some crazy adventure at 1 a.m., I want to listen to this. I don't know. You can listen to it at any time, but to me, it's just like, nightman music. You know?
For me, this is one of those bands that's like, it is good to listen to, and it's cool to listen to. Yeah, like for background shit when you're doing it, but it's more of a band that you want to go see live. Like, this is like a live band.
I want to see them.
You
want to
see this. You want to see them play this shit in person.
It's just ridiculous.
It would be, it would be really cool. We were looking at when we went to Kentucky, went to the Railroad Festival. I didn't know Krungbin at the time, one of Wyatt's last record recommendations. But when we went to Railbird, Krungbin played that festival. We didn't watch them. I didn't know who they were.
Yeah, Leon Bridges. We watched Leon Bridges.
Leon Bridges, yeah. And that's why I was excited for that album, because I knew who Leon Bridges was. But anyway, yeah, this would be a cool band to see live.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like you said, like I said, the first time I listened through it, I was like, what the fuck am I going to say?
Oh, dude, I just learned something.
You said, you know, it is six songs. There's no lyrics at all. So it is just like phenomenal music if you are doing something and you can't be like ingesting what's going on in the music. It's just like, damn, that guy's good. Wrenching on a fucking tractor.
You know, it makes me want to do work.
I just learned something by looking.
What do you got for me, baby?
I looked up the members of this, man. I should have done that a lot sooner. Corey Wong stuck out, and it's like, damn.
Corey Wong is probably my favorite guitar player.
He's a guitar player.
Sans you two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's a solid player.
Sans. I was going to say.
Excluding these two.
So Mark Lettieri, though.
He's the fourth guy?
Yeah. And I was going to say, so I should have said this.
That baritone mockingbird.
When I listened to this music, I got so many vibes of Snarky Puppy.
Dude.
His band Snarky Puppy. Mm-hmm. And now it makes sense.
Speaking of other insane bassists,
because he's literally the same guy.
Snarky Puppy. It's ripping.
Right, but like, man, it just makes a lot more sense now. Like, a lot of those like smooth jazz kind of like guitar, just like grooves that they're hitting in there. I was like, that, you know, Snarky Puppy-esque kind of thing. And it's like, he's the dude. Like, it's
very cool.
Yeah, very cool. They are ridiculous. I would love to see this band live.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did I ever send you that band called Dirty Loops?
think so.
With that crazy good drummer and bass player. His name's like Henrique or something like that. He plays like a 6 or 8 string like bass.
I don't think so.
Well, Corey Wong has like sat in on a few like sessions with them too. That's how I know him.
That blue Fender Strat that Corey Wong has is like the fucking coolest.
Yeah, he's good.
It's crazy listening to a record like this and then like watching videos of them. Which they would probably be a phenomenal band to see live. You watch, as a musician, you watch and listen to what they're doing, and you're just like, I give up. Like, like they couldn't be like, hey, our drummer's sick, could you fill in?
Right.
It's like, no, man, obviously I can't fucking fill in.
No, this is one of those bands like,
this is one of those bands that were like most of these dudes. I don't know the history of like each member, but I guarantee you all these guys went to school for this.
They all this did. Music. Mark Lettieri, we were listening to some of that on the way to
Steamboat.
Yeah.
Lettieri. Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah. He has some really good solo stuff, too. But this is the kind of band that, yeah, like what Tannen was saying, like, oh, you just kind of want to give up on music. But I don't know. Like, this is the kind of band where I listen to them, and it just makes me want to learn more.
It's art. Right. There's art's not
it encourages you to...
Like, Mark Lettieri...
Learn more, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's things I take away from all kinds of music, and this one is, like, for one, I probably will actually reference this record for, stealing and then making it my own on fills, because that drummer has some sick fucking fills.
Dude, I'm saying if you're gonna take fills and chops from anybody, it's right. These guys.
Right, yeah, steal it a little bit, make it your own. That guy sure rips. I take away like this is like where I like drawing penises. Somebody else is really good at drawing like the
huge
fucking
veiny
mountains. Right, like, oh, and yeah, it's like that's kind of how I approach music too. It's like, ding, I like drawing wieners, and then somebody draws the fucking.
They're like creating the Mona Lisa,
right?
You know,
and it's like that's like I like to think that I'm good at music, and then you listen to this shit, and you're like, well, I'm not that good.
Very interesting.
An interesting take, yeah.
I feel like every
Again,
one of these guys.
It's hard to make that comparison because it's just art.
But also, could they draw a wiener as good as I can? Probably not.
Maybe. I bet there's a lot of definition.
Let's get a vote.
Yeah good All pick, right. man. Yeah. Good pick.
Let's go.
I like you keeping things interesting.
Keeping it fresh.
Yeah.
You
man.
Guys, you guys. Okay. Let's do it. On the count of three, you have thumbs up, 50-50, or thumbs down.
Closing my eyes, I'm not getting influenced by anyone else.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. We have 4. A 4 out of 5.
I'll take a 4 out of 5. It's not bad.
4 out of 5. I'm very conflicted with it.
So, I love it, but like, yeah, man.
The musicianship and the talent behind the album, the thumbs up 100%. Is this something that I would listen to just, you know,
on the daily,
add to my playlist and whatnot? The instrumental side of it, that
totally.
That plays into my 50-50. I definitely can't give it a thumbs down. I mean, you respect the shit out of this.
He's
right.
Amazing. They're, like, this band yeah. is amazing.
Yeah. I see where Eston's coming
my
from.
My 50-50 comes from personal.
I actually kind of see where that's coming from too. For me, it's like, this is a collection of songs that are all just grooving. Maybe they kind of tie in together, but you could honestly throw these songs on other albums and get away with it just fine. So as far as like a composition album goes of just like something that like everything works together and you need to listen to it from front to back, I don't think that's necessarily like, maybe I need to listen to this album more, throwing this out there, but like, it's not necessarily like needed for me to listen to each one of the songs and get into the groove of each song. I can listen to each one of these songs isolated from one another and still take away from it things that I really like. So,
yeah.
In the context of like a great album, I think it's just a collection of songs. It's not like
right.
to me.
I am curious, having been introduced to this band as their fourth album, like going back and listening to the rest of their catalog to see how it
the other ones are fits. Also just as insane.
So another thing, thing that I saw that was, I thought kind of odd on this is they did a part one, part two on the release. They do a side A, side B. And the first four songs are side A and the last two songs are side B. Which maybe that's just for the vinyl because they couldn't fit it on there or something like that. Yeah, but
that's what it is.
It felt like a weird... you might be right. Actually, now saying that out loud, that makes
all of the bands on Volf Records, like Volf Peck, Volfman, Fearless Flyers, they're all really big on pressing vinyl every time they do a release. So I'm almost positive that's why.
Okay. Well, okay. Saying it out loud, that makes the most sense.
So,
but it's also weird to do an LP, but it'd only be six songs.
Yeah.
It just, everything clicks. Well, LPs are decided on minutes, name, I think. That made.
Like, bro.
Complete sense.
I thought it was all production,
bro. Welcome to my favorite, the world LP, of my favorite bands.
A side tangent around Mark Lettieri again.
Right.
Sorry, is
I think he was to be over a certain.
He was the lead guitarist.
Certain number of tracks or a certain amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's determined on time and track.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, an EP. Yeah, you can't have an EP that's six songs. I think it's determined on time and track.
Let's find out.
Zach, what were you saying
that's something that's a good trivia
Mark,
question.
Do you know what each thing is for?
Mark?
A side thing about
EP
Mark
is an exclusive production.
Extended play. And LP is long play and record. Mm-hmm.
A side thing about Mark real quick.
Extended
he was play. In a band with Tori Kelly. He was her extended touring guitarist for a while.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's weird.
The touring guitarist that replaced him was Mateus Asado. So there's this huge like guitar lineage around these dudes like Corey Wong and Mark Lettieri that they all kind of just like, all these dudes are just stupid good.
Obviously they're so good. So I subconsciously uprate or downrate music depending on if I send it to people or not. And so I had to get into this record because when I first listened through this record, not having anything to do with the musicianship, I was like, I literally said in my car, what the fuck, Wyatt?
What the heck?
What the
what
heck,
the
Wyatt?
Heck? What the heck?
Because it's just, for one, not anything I would get into, and two, I don't know what to say about it. Like,
say less.
The drummer's good. And it's like but
That was quick.
Dude, I really do think that if
no cap, bro.
I think somebody could sample this shit and make some fucking bangers. I know they could. Because I was singing melodies to this music where I was like, I could make this song a fucking ripper right now. And just driving in my car and just like melodies I've never thought of ever. And it's like, it's cool music to do that too.
I think what I hear you saying is that it's maybe a little bit inspirational. You know what I mean? Like they're so fucking good that it's like,
it's hard not to.
Ooh, I want to throw my head in the ring on this one. You know what I mean? It's like, man.
It's hard so not to good. Be inspired.
But I was a little, I did get a little bit like, God damn it, Wyatt.
You know, at first. You know what we should do?
The first listen through, I was like, God damn it, Wyatt.
Fucking Wyatt. This is just at least it wasn't the six and a half hour Goose album.
Played into it. Do you have a song for us?
Yep, I got
song
you.
Song recommendation?
So speaking of Corey Wong, one of the members of the Fearless Flyers.
Will you say his other band's name? Really
Corey cool? Wong and the Wong Notes. I promise that's real.
It is.
Great
it is real.
Touring act. Anyways,
I love that.
On Corey Wong's Spotify band. Account, there is a song called Cosmic Sands. Kind of like the text file Comic Sans, but it's called
the font.
Yeah, but the font, but it's called Cosmic Sands. Great song.
By Corey Wong and the Wong Notes?
I think it's just Corey Wong.
Oh. Cool.
Check it out.
Great song though. Listen to it.
Yeah, good pick.
Let's check it
for
out.
For sure.
We love you guys.
Yeah, we love you guys.
I'll kiss you if you listen to this.
Episode 16. Actually, it might be episode 17.
It's 17.
God damn it.
I think it's 17.
I think I fucked that up in the very beginning.
Yeah, I think we had
16. Episode 17 of the Third Street Podcast. Maybe. We love you guys. We'll see you guys next week. Baby, listen to Corey Wong. Listen to Fearless Flyers. Listen to S in the 86, baby.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye, Tannen.
Bye-bye, Tannen.
Bye-bye, Tannen. Wow, 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 wow